You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
You mentioned Cam Newton, linking it to Cam Newton. What were your takeaways that were most interesting on the Cam Newton fight?
Okay, so Cam Newton, we reached the point of the plot there that after somebody put their paws on us, suddenly we're on a podcast talking about it. I just know if somebody that had drugged me that was 6 feet six tall, me and some of my friends or whatever, I don't know if I'd be doing a media tour to talk about how that happened to me. There's a lot of disappointing things. And one of the things that come out about this in the aftermath of this conversation is how Black people talk about other Black people when these situations arises. This is when your neighborhood friendly race lady shows up.
Hold on just a second.
It's time for your friendly neighborhood race lady.
You're good.
All right. Now, because I can't have the racial take unless I have the music.
Correct.
So there is, you see, when Black people, when others who are not Black try to make Black people into a monolithic people, meaning that if one of us does something, it somehow reflects on the entire race. We lose it. We understandably lose our shit because that very rarely happens to other races to some degree. It does happen a little bit, but I feel like with the degree when it comes to Black people, it's far deeper. And yet I have heard over and over on social media, Black people saying the same thing that we get outraged about, that white people say about our community. So suddenly this is not just a combination of ego and bravado gone wrong and tempers flaring and trash talk and all that, just a singular incident. Suddenly this is the reason why Black people can't have nothing. And I just reject that so much on all levels, is that, you know, Cam shouldn't come back to the community. That's why he shouldn't deal with us. And that's why Black people can't do this. Whoa. This is about some immaturity that took place on both sides, I might mention, because, you know, people are sort of focused so much on Cam winning the fight. And I'm not blaming him for this incident, because it looked like, again, there was blame on both sides to be had. Mostly I'm just like, you guys are in the presence of kids. And I thought the point of the exercise with this tournament was to expose them to somebody who has been as professionally successful as Cam, who can help them understand what it takes to get to the next level. And as coaches in the position of leading young men, you got to know better than to do this. And so there's that part of the conversation. But I really hate how this has become the lecturing of Black people, mostly by other Black people who are saying that we have embarrassed our entire race by this one incident. And I hate that we more than anybody else subscribe to that same thinking. It's just that automatic reflexive recoil that we have when something bad happens nationally and we find out that the person who did it was Black. And suddenly we all feel this sort of secondhand embarrassment that somebody got out there and acted a fool. And I started I started to leave that thinking away a long time ago. And so because then you make it seem like the behavior is pathological and not just the actions of these individuals, because that's how I took it. They reflect me no more than, some celebrity that's Black wins an award. And so we can't play that game. And so it's disappointing to find a lot of us sort of trafficking in those same stereotypes that we get outraged by when other people say it.
Walk me through two parts of this culturally, because Shannon Sharp is blowing up now in the business. And he's one of the people who said that this is wildly disrespectful and it would never happen at Peyton Manning's camp or Tom Brady's camp. But you're talking about how people talk about the incident afterward. How about beforehand when I ask you about Rucker Park or And One and the idea of talking trash before you arrive at Cam Newton's camp because you think you can do something against Cam Newton and where words can escalate into what it is that we saw because you're disrespecting Cam Newton and he's only going to abide so much disrespect at his camp.
Well, exactly. But at least the way they told it, and I don't know, you know, at this point, it's a game of who do you believe, but the trash talking seemed to be mutual on both sides. Now, like, trash talking is not a gateway to always leading to something violent happening. But again, when you put that type of trash talk, and I think somebody, because in general, there is a delusional quality in a lot of men who think that physically they can be sized up against a professional athlete. There's just the bravado in being about that anyway. And so then you get the extra bravado. Yeah, because y'all, look, if it's one thing a man will find, it's definitely delusion when it comes to how they stack up against professional athletes. You hear it all. I mean, you see it all the time.
Every day.
When you're the same size, it's a different story, though.
I'm just saying it's only men that are having these conversations about whether or not they can fight a bear. It's like, why do y'all believe this? I don't
if you had the right trainers, though, Jamel. All right.
See what I'm saying?
You can do it.
You're so delusional. Like the number, I think it was that survey that came out not too long ago about the number of men who think they could land a plane safely,
I can also
having never flown.
Jamel, here's the thing. Here's what you don't know.
When you fly
to Bimini, Jamel, the pilots are right in front of you because it's a small plane, right? So there's no cockpit, there's no covering. So if that pilot goes down, guess who the co-pilot is? You look around and you don't find him, it's you.
That doesn't mean you're landing
He's
the plane.
Right. Yeah, Tony's making a good point.
Oh, and land that son of a bitch.
Once again, the delusion of men. I look, just give me the confidence of the average man when it comes to whether or not that they think that they could measure up to a professional athlete. So you have all of this hubris, this ego. You know, it's been a part of, like, the, as you mentioned, the Rucker Park tradition in general. There is something to be said for, like, hey, people wanting to see if they belong on the same field or be in the same company as some of these athletes. And this is just a situation that got out of hand, no more, no less. And as far as what Shannon said, that's what I mean to make it seem like it's pathological. And I think I love Shannon. Reasonable minds can differ. And I think that's dangerous thinking to put out there because it's making it seem as if only Black people are inherently attracted to confrontation and disrespect. And we know that's not true.
I could beat Alex Morgan one-on-one. Don't tell me I can't challenge someone just because I'm a woman, Jamel.
I mean, I'm just saying, look, I'd love to see us get that same level of toxicity. I encourage women. We need to be more toxic in this way. I need to be able to have the confidence to roll up to Serena Williams and say I could beat her in one set of tennis.
Do you play tennis, though?
I feel like I would be good at it. Because that's what y'all
So you mean. Haven't played yet. All right.
You don't start with a full set, Jamel. You say, hey, I can get a game off Serena Williams. That's
you're right. Right. Okay, yes. I got to start smaller than that. I can get a game off of Serena Williams. It's like the athlete y'all think y'all are in your head and in your couch versus what you actually are is truly hysterical.
That was your friendly neighborhood race lady.
Jamel, always nice seeing you. Thank you for stopping through. We always appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't believe I did this whole thing and I didn't ask you why you're dressed in sort of like a masked adult diaper, but that's okay.
I just like it. I run my own company now, and I can adhere to all of my personal kinks. Yeah, personal kinks. Thank you.
Okay, I love it. No judgment. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I make my own rules in my own workplace. Thank you, Jamel. Appreciate it. I wanted to get to something here, Stugatz, because I've been talking for a while, many years and many successive weeks, about Jon Stewart and what I hope for Jon Stewart in his return to The Daily Show. And so far, in the first three episodes, it's exceeded all expectations. In a time where it's impossible to get ratings, and better than ever to be a skeptic, I don't believe any of the ratings, but everyone seems to be saying that not only is The Daily Show doing better numbers than it has done since Jon Stewart left, but also all of the other hosts are getting a ratings bump from the fact that Jon Stewart has merely done three episodes so far, and he's touched a lot of people with politics. But I'm going to play some sound for you in the next segment of him really moving, Stugatz, the dog lover constituency. I think Michael Vick wildly underestimated the damage that can be done by outraged dog owners. And Jon Stewart has connected with a human moment of breaking down on air because he did the show the other day, a show I will repeat and continue to tell people takes 60, 70, 80 hours of bandwidth a week from Jon Stewart to get up there on Mondays and do what he's trying to do during an election year, which is stay relevant in political comedy, not age out of political comedy because it's a totally different time than the one he dominated. Jon Stewart, what he's doing on Mondays is important, and three episodes in, is also working because he's drawing millions of people at a time that nobody draws millions of people to a single, you know, to a single time. We all have our own menus. Why are you shaking your head, Chris Cody?
This room just exploded with debate on Skeptical Billy came out on how many hours he's really putting into this.
It's not 80 hours a week for a 24-minute episode.
Come on, what are we doing?
Impossible. That's crazy.
80 to 90.
These writers, I mean, maybe.
Could be 90.
What do you think? How hard?
24 minutes, not 80 hours a week. Not
finger guns in. What are we talking about today, boys? All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
We agreed on like 30 back here.
Yeah, you guys have no earthly idea how difficult it is to do these things well at the level.
Do it 5 days
a week. Produce it.
That John Oliver and Jon Stewart do it. Like, you just
I wish I was in the entertainment business.
Yeah, it'd be really hard. I wonder how it works to produce a show.
What do producers even do?
A good one. A good one is the part you guys are missing.
I used to.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Le Batard.
Yes, you can't talk about double-digit national titles when every single call of you winning the national title sounds like this. Oh, there's Stubby Jacka running down the sideline. if the audio... Yeah,
that's no, like, not true.
Yeah, and there's a World War II veteran pitching into another white guy, and he avoids another white guy. Oh, my God, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, have done it again for the eighth time. They're paying white people.
Stugatz.
Stubby Jacka.
I'm sorry.
He's black.
he's black. And I was like, what's a white name? Chubby Checker. I picked the black. I'm sorry, man. I'm improv in here. It's a pretty cool riff.
Checker running down the side.
He spells it differently. All right. His name is Chubby. Maybe you didn't hear me correctly. His name is Chubby Checkers. There's an S at the end.
I feel like that should be the largest of five.
Yeah, Chubby. It's Chubby Checker. It sounds like a college football name.
This is the Dan Levitar Show with the Stugats.
Ah, that's right. It is time for Against the Spread is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned, because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Let's start with my man, Tony.
Thank you, Chris. We are going to the association tonight. Battle for LA, Dano. Lakers versus the Clippers. Clippers at home on this one.
The boats.
Yeah. The Yankee Clippers. -3.5 for the Clippers. I'm going to take the Clippers to cover against the spread.
Against the spread. Against the spread.
Jer-Bear.
I'm going to college basketball, and there's a blue blood program playing tonight at Oklahoma State. UCF +2 men's basketball. Again,
letdown game for the Cavs tonight against my Chicago Bulls. Bulls +5 against the spread.
Billy's Cavs. Over to you, Billy.
All right, I'm headed back to college basketball where Army West Point is a +4 against American. I'm going to take Army West Point +4. TYFYS.
Against the spread.
Against the spread.
Over to the gods.
I'm going back to the association.
Ooh.
How about that? No one believes in the Cavaliers. I believe in the Cavaliers. I'm going head to head with you, Jazz. I am taking Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs -5 at Chicago. Against the spread.
Bring us home, Dano.
I will take the Timberwolves -12.5 at home against the.
Against the spread.
Against the spread. Oh,
against two.
Against the Memphis Grizzlies.
-12, actually. Yeah.
About the half point.
Against the Grizzlies. I made it even more difficult.
Against the spread.
I needed to. That's how little I believe in the Memphis Grizzlies. I want to play this sound, even though it's sad sound, and already
I'm leaving.
Jessica has alerted me that she's leaving.
I love sad
the room.
Dog stories.
You do?
Yep.
No one does.
Who loves sad
The room dog wanted to leave. I'm
so
zagging.
When Dan was talking about driving with his dead dog in his lap, you enjoyed that.
You know this role in this chair is? Give the show what it needs. I'm into this story. Can't wait for it.
Team player Chris.
So what I was saying earlier, Jon Stewart is trying to cross the political divide, and that one's going to be really hard because we're super divided. He is very good at self-deprecating humor, but I think, Stugatz, this connects, maybe it just connects with human beings who are pet owners of any kind. Maybe it's something that is mocked by people who don't care about animals. I don't believe we've done a lot more offensive around here recently than the way you guys broke the news of that owl dying yesterday to Ron McGill and then gracelessly handled the aftermath of that afterward.
Flacco.
What owl?
Yeah, you guys were mean.
Elite. It's an owl?
Cruel. But let's listen to this sound of Jon Stewart connecting in a place where pet owners are going to understand.
They brought out this one-ish year old brindle pit bull who... hit by a car in Brooklyn and lost his right leg. I thought I'd get further. So it was a perfect idea. They put the dog in my lap and we left that day feeling really good that we'd helped this great organization. And we also left with this one-ish year old brindle pit bull. We called him Dipper. And in a world of good boys, he was the best. He used to come to the Daily Show every day. He was part of the OG Daily Show dog crew. Parker, Quali, Dipper, Riot, they were the OGs in the office. Dipper would wait, and we'd come and tape the show, and Dipper would wait for me. to be done. And he met actors and authors and presidents and kings. And he did what the Taliban could not do, which is put a scare into Malala Yousafzai.
Oh, dear, you can talk.
Crying, Malala.
It's fine.
Dipper passed away yesterday. He was ready. He was tired. But I wasn't. And the family, we were all together, thank goodness, we were all with him. But boy, my wish for you is one day you find that dog, that one dog. It just is the best. Here's your moment to sit.
Dude, who's got your ball there? Where's your ball? Get your ball.
The skeptics' lane is open to both Billy and Chris on that didn't take 80 hours to produce.
Took 90.
That's the joke we were going to go with, yeah. 14 that time.
That was like a 14 hours. Yeah. And then you cut out the 24-minute episode, 4 minutes about your dog is the long pauses. I mean, you're really doing a 19-minute show last week.
Have you ever cried over someone else's dog?
It was his dog.
It was his dog.
No, but he's asking if someone else is feeling that pain, do you ever cry with them because you feel their pain or get the reminder of what your pain was when you lost your dog?
I used to mock people who got so upset after losing their dog until I got a dog and became a dog owner.
Yeah, but I have the healthy relationship for it. I cried when my dog died, but I just know no one else is going to feel that way.
Like, I felt bad for Scott Van Pelt, who did his one big thing on SportsCenter about his dog who had just died. Like, I cried with him. Nothing. I did. I sent him a text. You're right.
Well, you sent him a text saying, can you come on the show to talk about your dog dying?
Yeah.
Said no. You saw Lane.
Very talkative chicken over there.
It always works.
I got lost on whose dog it was.
Yeah,
the beginning, it was like a dog, but then was it somebody else's dog? And I didn't
what?
It is sad when dogs die. We can agree on that, I think.
Agreed.
Right? But Tony and Chris thought it was someone else's dog, and they thought the dog died when it got hit by a car, so they're very confused.
Right.
During
the tears started then. He's like, got hit by a car. I saw tears. I'm like, all right, that's
he lost
how it died.
His leg, but the same one that lost
and
his leg.
And then at the end of the story, it was like, he died today.
Ooh, unless it was a ghost dog, Tony.
Mm.
I saw a lot of dogs in New York with three legs, though.
What? That's not true.
I swear I saw
a lot.
No, I'd say three at least. Because there's so many people walking their dogs.
It's a common occurrence.
It's amazing.
I saw one yesterday in Miami.
It's amazing how their ability to just like the dog's normal. I saw. I actually saw an owner. The dog was sniffing something. I saw an owner give the dog like one of those like yanks. It's like I wouldn't do that to a three-legged dog, but obviously the dog was fine with it. It was just like a normal dog. Like the dog was like, all right, gotta go. But.
Put it on the poll, Juju, at Levitard.
In New York, a lot.
Are you surprised that no one's reported on the proliferation of three-legged dogs outbreaking all over New York?
I'm going to see where the biggest population is.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Levitard.
I feel like we need to normalize saying these scientific terms for
organs on the air.
A
like
penis?
If someone, yes. You know what? If someone takes a foul ball to the penis, we should just say he took a foul ball to the penis.
See? Mm-hmm. Stugatz.
That free kick hit him right in the cock-a-doodle-doo.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Jeremy has for us a list of other foreigners who are not in the Hall of Fame, which allows us to play the Paul McCartney sound, the weird Paul McCartney sound again, and we'll get to that in a second. We will also get to Chris Cody has now gotten the official vote on what is a legitimately good question by Tony that Billy sabotaged and has it's lit the sabermetrics community on fire. I do believe that the answer is going to be fairly obvious that you don't want a 250 hitter who hits a single and only a single in every game for 800 straight games.
810 game hitting streak means nothing anymore. Okay.
He's right.
I just want to get that on record. It doesn't mean anything. Gotcha. Okay.
It is what they would be saying if they voted no.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you guys if you're surprised in any way that Todd Gurley, who has not played in, I believe, 3 or 4 years, and I know we understand that the running back is largely disposable unless he's Derrick Henry, but that Todd Gurley is younger than Derrick Henry. He's been out of the league for 3 years.
Damn.
And Derrick Henry is going to get another contract at 30. That Super Bowl, quiet as it's kept, like people say, oh, Belichick won that one for Brady when Brady scored 13 points and they were able to beat the Rams. That happened because Todd Gurley wasn't able to play as a not injured player in that game. The Rams offense was totally different without Todd Gurley, but we used up his body, forgot about him. He's been out of the league for 3 years and he's only 29 years old. Derrick Henry's going to get another free agent contract. I thought for sure the SEC, just the workload in the SEC would make Derrick Henry wear down at some point. But Derrick Henry was still more masculine, stronger than anybody in the league last year.
He's just like LeBron of running backs, right? Like every single season you expect, hey, like this is another year. LeBron's older, maybe some health issues, maybe an injury. And it just doesn't happen. And he just continues to get better.
But
better
I'm going
to
say he's only 30. It's going to happen very soon. It has to happen very soon.
To your point, Dan, maybe he'd still be in the league if his name was Todd Manley. You said masculine.
Chris said that he knew it.
I knew where he was going, and I still couldn't find the sound.
Did you? You know that he is there for you every time.
He has the Greg Cody thing where I can kind of tell when he's setting up a terrible
I'm winding
joke.
Up.
He is the one who's more comfortable than everyone other than Greg Cody about just throwing a turd out there. Like he's some more.
Yeah, that's right. And I've thrown some turd at you.
I know.
When has Greg thrown a turd?
All of you are great at throwing turds.
Son of a.
It's your greatest skill.
Is that Paul McCartney? What's he doing here?
That is Paul McCartney. If you want to get that video, and we've got to get to this vote quickly, but before I do either of those things, I just want to throw to Billy that Sean McDermott has said that it is not a matter of if, but rather when the Bills win the Super Bowl. He said,
I think the question is if he will be there when it happens.
Well, this is the quote. Yes, the joke I was going to make, because the quote that he had was, if it's a matter of if, not when, we win the Super Bowl. And my question was going to be, what do you mean by we?
who's we?
Who's the we in that circumstance? Because you've got one more year to win a Super Bowl, I'm assuming, even though he's done a great deal of winning, right? He's done. He's got to have. Bill.
It makes me uncomfortable that everyone in here is laughing at this. So I'm going to be the one to sit this out in case we have to play this in the parade of gas bags. Come a year.
It's a safe place to laugh because you'll be drowned out by the other laughs. So you're good.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I mean, it is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I could say right now that while McDermott has been coaching, he's got the best winning percentage in the league, not Andy Reid classification. I don't know if Sirianni might have an objection to that or not, but I got to think that McDermott's career record is going to be by winning percentage.
Since he's been coaching, what? Like the coach stops.
As the Bills.
The Chiefs probably have higher winning percentage.
I said non-Andy Reid division.
Cool. Yes.
He has a 640 win percentage, so 64 win percentage. He's 73-41 as the head coach of the Bills. Their worst year in
2018 was 6-10.
All right, just look up every other coach's winning percentage.
Yeah, you got it. I'm on it.
Matt LaFleur is probably pretty high.
Sirianni 667.
LaFleur is going to do a lot of winning too. But McDermott has done plenty of winning and is yet viewed as an underachiever because he hasn't, he's been 13 seconds slow in one place and lost by a play here.
They haven't won the AFC yet.
That's right.
I'm being told in my ear that Mike Tomlin is just below McDermott.
Large.
Sample size.
Sample size.
But that's a lot of winning, and we don't think of him as a winner. The Bills...
Not enough winning. It's the wrong winning.
You got to win in the right places.
Exactly. Do it in the playoffs.
Do it against the Chiefs. Exactly. That's where we feel like the problem is. Like, they're really good, and then they win, and they play the Chiefs, and they lose.
Stop letting Joshy down.
Don't do that little fake punt thing again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, enough with DeMar.
Chris Cody, what? Just a series of Buffalo objections. Chris, give me the vote finally on what it is that all of the people that you texted say of a 800-plus game hitting streak that involves a hitter going 1-for-4 in every single game. Is that hitter with an 800-plus game hitting streak a Hall of Fame?
Wait, hold on. In Tony's defense, though, like how it was phrased is probably very important. Yeah. So how did you phrase it to them?
I phrased it to the same exact question to every person. A DH goes 1-for-4 for 5 straight seasons and then retires. 0 career extra base hits, 250 career batting average, 810 game hitting streak. Is this player a Hall of Famer?
Question. You didn't ask this to the people you texted, but is this person walking away from an 810 game
walks away from
streak?
The game.
Wow. Yes. Follow up with that and see if
walks
it
away from the game.
I think they got that because it's an 810.
Retired,
810 is every game that they
play.
Yeah,
but okay, retiring and walking away are two different things.
Yeah. I'm not going to
walk
up.
Away with dignity.
He hung up the clock.
I think they got the
laid
gist
off.
Of it.
Yeah,
I
different
think,
things.
I don't know if their answers are going to change. Let's go one by one. First person, Jeff Passan, responds, no.
Oh.
He said, as impressive as an 810 game hitting streak is, a 500 OPS is awful. You can't reward someone for being consistently bad.
Consistently bad. Wow. He's the opposite. He's consistently getting a hit.
He's consistently okay, is your point.
Yeah. Next response, Adnan Virk. Your guy Taylor asked me this when you were at Super Bowl week.
You could have left that out.
Is that a yes or a no?
And then I was like, and that's all he wrote. And I was like, so what's your answer?
Afraid of being wrong.
Adnan Virk. Yes.
Oh.
Nothing else but that.
My guy.
I don't have his reasons, but he voted yes. So we are 1-1.
I think the reason would be the 810 game hit streak.
That's true.
That's the only reason. That would be the only argument.
What else do we have here? I'm riveted. 1-1, Dan.
All right. Mike Schur. One word response, no.
And what does he know?
And then he wrote, it's not a one. And then his next text, more than one. Well, that text was one word. And then he responded, would be exciting every time he started a game 0-for-3, though.
Oh, that's
accurate.
True.
The intrigue, Dan. The intrigue.
He would change
the
ratings forever.
Is up the bat. What is he going to do? He's going to get hit.
They'd be breaking into coverage.
The ratings boom. SEC football.
Oh, my God. You'd be so mad
at
that
SEC
football.
I would hate
this guy. Yeah. I'm going to kill him.
All right, so we have Tim Kirkjian and Boog Shambi. Whose results should I read next?
It is too far. Is there any?
He threatened to kill Tony 4 times today.
Every college football game for like 5 years would get interrupted.
Oh, he's the worst.
My assumption
is, get him out of the league.
By you asking who you should read next, they both said no. Because if it was yes, then you'd read the yes, and then you'd
do you want Boog or Tim Kirkjian?
Well, he already told us it's not a tie, so we already know what the next.
Well, Boog didn't respond to me.
Still?
So give us Boog.
I kind of gave away the goods. Tim Kirkjian. One word response. No. We lose 3-1.
No follow-up?
No wins.
No nothing?
The only yes voter, Adnan.
And how credible is he?
Can you give me an update, Jeremy, please, on foreigners who are no longer in the Hall of Fame or not in the Hall of Fame, and give me an update on factually what I was saying about McDermott's winning percentage?
Well, first on the winning percentage, Sean McDermott, 73-41 since 2017 when he entered the league. The only teams that are better are the New Orleans Saints, Baltimore Ravens, and Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, the Saints, Sean Payton, no longer their head coach. So if you're looking for winning percentages in the league amongst coaches, you got Andy Reid. John Harbaugh is the only one you missed. As for foreigners, Bobby Abreu.
Not in the Hall of Fame. Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Foreigner? Not in the Hall of Fame? What the f***?
Rafael Palmeiro.
Not in the Hall of Fame. What the f***?
Miguel Tejada.
Not in the Hall of Fame. What the f***?
Louis Tiant.
Not in the Hall of Fame. What the f***?
Johan Santana.
What the f***?
And Andrew Jones.
Chris Cody, what is your problem? You're a beer guy, and your father is a beer guy. You descend from a strong lineage of being beer people. What is your objection to wine people?
Well, I have an objection because I take offense to what you actually just said. Because I love a cold one, a Miller Lite, like as much as the next one. But I am not one of these. I'm more going after the enthusiasts. There's beer enthusiasts. These people. I'm not.
You're a beer guy, dude. You don't know it, but you're a beer guy.
I know
guy.
I probably look like one, yeah, but I don't like IPAs. Like, they fill me up.
Just
like,
accept you're a beer
okay,
guy.
Okay, I mean, if I had to be... Now, if I'm one of these, I'm a liquor guy. I like a good whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say beer, liquor, and wine. Jesus. There are people out here, and I want to dissect who's the worst of this group, because I experienced wine people for the first time. Jesus. Wine people are the worst. They're
Billy,
just boring.
Billy, why are you whispering Jesus on something that only you, Jessica, and Jeremy are laughing about?
No, she said it out loud. No one got the joke.
I didn't hear her.
I hardly know her.
Liquor guy?
Oh.
Because I said I'm a liquor guy. And
liquor, and she said, hell yeah.
I don't know. I'm in a silly mood.
No, but I really want to dissect.
Like Saban and Belichick would be if they did a little game
silly
together.
Billy. Yeah, we mentioned.
I literally want everyone here, because like you have to have an opinion on this. Who's the worst of this crew? And let me make my pitch for why wine people are. It's just boring. Man, like I was at a wine thing at South Beach Food and Wine, and this guy, Dan Costa, spitting fire, looked like a good hang. He hated it because I don't know that. He didn't say it. Just a boring, just what's the topography of this winer? And I was just like, the most boring.
But the
topography
is really important because where the grapes grow, if there's an altitude that's a little bit higher, there's something that's a little bit lower, they get grown in the valley. Like it's a different taste.
I've told you guys this story before. The one class I took in college with the hopes of actually just having it be easy and learning so that I could order the correct wine with a fish and not be an idiot.
White wine.
Was a wine tasting class. And I walk in and the first class, the instructor reaches into the jacket of his coat and pulls out a cluster of grapes and says, by the end of this semester, you'll be able to tell me based on looking on this, what kind of soil this was, you know.
Please tell me volcanic soil. Please tell me you dropped the class.
I struggled. I did not drop. I got like a C plus or something and had to fight my way through the class because it was super hard and never got good at ordering wine either.
Well, you're focused on dirt, it seems like, in this class. How does that help
you with fish?
The
dirt's very important. It's what grows the grapes.
And so much, like, overlapping. There was one time the guy's like, it was a Pinot Noir tasting. He's just like, you know, you never met a Pinot Noir, and you say to yourself after, needs more oak. And I'm telling you, that crushed. And I'm sitting to my wife, I'm just like, wine humor. Like, wine humor over here. Like, I was just like, I'm telling you, and the whole room was like,
sounds like a real Weinzenheimer.
Oh my God, where was this?
That's all at South Beach Food and Wine. That's all I learned is that oak is with Pinot Noir. Man, that's the one thing I took away. A lot of oak.
Asian oak barrels, and it's very important. It's a top flavor for a nice Pinot Noir. Maybe a little leather, maybe a nice little cherry, maybe a nice dark fruit.
I think the debate is between wine people and beer people. I don't have a problem with liquor
people.
Are there
beer? Oh, you mean like craft beer?
Enthusiasts, just people that go and taste different things, and they got to get all the stuff, and it's just they like the really dark beers. I don't see... Billy says I'm a beer guy. I hate dark beers.
I believe that this conversation, like a lot of the ones we have around here, where we're the ones mocking and ignorant, the people who know about these things would object to the amount of mocking ignorance that is in this room because they're aficionados with expertise about how wonderful it is to know the differences between many different wines because the best of the best wine is an exceptional experience. And if you know about these things, you would object to everything we're saying here and how dumb we sound and probably uncultured.
I think Chris is referring to the type of person who is like either a wine snob or like a beer hipster, like the person that wants you to know how expert they are. And I would argue that like almost any topic, that person's the worst. It doesn't matter if it's beverages, sports, movies, whatever. No one likes that guy.
My brother-in-law is like this with whiskey. Every place we travel, I got to go to a liquor store and get a local whiskey. It's like, dude,
it's not the knowledge.
It burns your throat.
It's that it becomes their identity, I think, is really the thing here.
I think also we all think of this person as looking like Paul Giamatti from Sideways and condescending us at every turn because they know more about wine than we do.
And I'm sitting there looking around like, can I drink all this wine? No one else is drinking all of it. There's one guy who got me. This guy ahead of me, like one row ahead of me, he was crushing every wine. Yeah. But everyone else was just like sipping there. Like at the end of this hour-long thing, everyone looked like they still had wine in their glass. And I'm like, what are we doing here, folks? I only drank two of them because I didn't want to be judged. The way I was judging this guy who crushed all of them, I was like, to my wife, I'm like, I'm only drinking these two because I don't want people to be looking at me like, this guy's crushing way too much wine.
Wine tastings are the best, though, because you just end up getting hammered.
Yep. It was at noon,
That's
too.
That's it.
How is it that, thank you, Jessica, I appreciate that was your
They're
take.
Like, here's a 3-ounce pour. I'm like, all right, I'll have six of these. Yeah.
I do want that to become your signature Arnold Schwarzenegger phrase where you hit somebody with something and then you just say, that's it. That's my take. Just hit somebody with a sentence and then knock them over with it. And that's it. That's my take.
That's my voice. Do that.
You, Chris Cody, you at a wine tasting and a fancy gala of gourmet people being...
It's a hotel hall. I mean, it is...
So where did you end up, though, as you tried to taste liberally from the great excesses that are gourmet Miami? Because there were a lot of good places where there were a lot of good parties, and you braved all of the traffic and all of the inconvenience to get to one of these crowded spaces. How did you fit in? Because they are a lot of culinary experts. It's not a lot of people just looking for a party.
I fit in all right. I think there's different kinds of people at these things. There's the people that go to every year, and that they're the people that I was just complaining about. And then there's the people that are there like me, like, oh, it's a one-time exciting thing. So we mingled with some people, but it's definitely a vibe over my pay grade for sure.
Before we get out of here, can you guys just give me, I heard you talking earlier about Fidel Castro, and I don't know what the story was, why it is that.
Why the could we do that?
All right,
this was a wild story.
This is, all right. So I got to pull up the tweet. Yeah. All right. So there was this is with a minute left. There was a parody article.
He invented the Eurostep.
Yeah, that's the parody. So there's a parody article from Medium where there's photos of Fidel Castro playing basketball. And so it says that through a journal entry by Che Guevara in December of 1962, the quote was, in his frequent basketball matches, Fidel has started using a new move he simply calls the step. It is undeniably effective, yet is its goodness equally undeniable? As revolutionaries, we must not merely pay attention to ends, but to means. I worry that this flash and pomp is not befitting of the revolutionary leader. It serves to separate him too much from those caught in the chains of a maudlin life, marred by oppression and economic strife. Yes, there's it leads picture? To a basket, but at what cost to the communal spirit? And the thing that I loved about it was that everyone said the Eurostep should be called the Cuban Shuffle.
That is not Fidel Castro. That's DJ Khaled. And I want you guys to put on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Did Fidel Castro invent the Eurostep? That's it. That's the take. That's a good limited fake Paul McCartney.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.